Yesterday and today was the Levaya of one of the greatest people in America of our generation, Rav Matzio Salomon Zatzal. And there's so much to say about how he impacted our world, the city of Lakewood, the yeshiva, BMG of Lakewood, the rest of the world as well in so many ways. And I personally benefited directly from going to his weekly shmooze that he would give in yeshiva in the dining room in BMG, which was like always packed to the gills. It had 800 plus people there. It's a lot of people. And it was given at 7:45 p.m., which is not the easiest time of day to go and be by Musa Shmuz. And I didn't even learn near that Bes Medrash. And I made it my business to get over there, find parking, which was not an easy task, and be there for his speech, all of 20 minutes. But they were really life-altering, every single one of them. And the way he changed the yeshiva and the kehillah in Lakewood was almost miraculous in its effect. And I hope to speak about more about the Mashgiach over Shabbos. And also I'll be giving a short Dvar Hesped, hopefully, to the high school Sunday morning. And I hope to record it and post it. But what I just saw by chance is that Rabbi Gladstein on Torah Anytime posted a short Dvar Torah where he told a story actually about Rav Matzio's mother, which was related to Rav Matzio originally. And he actually invested some time verifying the story and getting the details straight. And it connects directly to an event in this parasha, and I'd like to speak about it. In the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is born, and it's at the worst time for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. This was a period when Paro made the decree to drown all male children. And it didn't last that long, but it was long enough. It was for a couple of years. And Amram had decided to divorce his wife Yocheved, so not to subject themselves to the pain and agony. And all of Klal Yisrael, who followed him as their gadol and leader, they followed suit, and they divorced their wives as well. Now, one can only imagine, right, the amount of thought and debate and pain that went into a decision like this, and was certainly for the sake of maintaining some level of life and semblance of happiness so that the soul of Klal Yisrael shouldn't be totally extinguished. That's why he made that decision. He didn't think people could last through such kind of test. But his daughter, Miriam, 7-year-old daughter at the time, protested his decision and said that this is even worse, what you're doing, than the current situation, because it totally undermines the future of Klal Yisrael. Paro's decree will only kill the male children. Your decision prevents any children from being born and will extinguish the light of Klal Yisrael. So he reconsidered. And again, that itself is something mind-blowing. He had made such a heart-wrenching decision, such a choice, and had the whole nation follow his example, divorce their wives. And then he retracted because of his daughter, a child. And imagine the embarrassment of doing something like that. It's just a demonstration of what true godless and emes is. So he remarried Yocheved, and a miracle occurred. She was quite old, and she was able to resume having children. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and after a few months, the Mitzrayim had instituted a new level of horror, because they were searching for every last child, and they would keep track of who was pregnant, and they would bring babies along to cry, so if there were any babies hidden anywhere, they would be uncovered. So it became impossible to hide the babies, and they were left with absolutely no options, and no hope. Yocheved was forced to cast Moshe into the Nile in a basket. Now think about it, if you ever took a moment to think, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's chances at this point, right? What was the hope? What could have possibly happened? How could he survive? What could happen? He could drown if the basket sinks. He could die of thirst and hunger very quickly in the Egyptian environment. Now, if the basket was found, who would find it? If a Jew found it, what would they do? They'd do the same thing Yocheved did. His own mother threw him into the Red Nile River because he couldn't hide him, right? Another Jew would certainly not take him. And if a Mitzri found the baby, they would drown him, right? They certainly were very happy about this decree. They drowned the babies. And if not, there was certainly a punishment if you didn't. Like, same thing happened by the Nazis, right? So there was no hope. What could possibly save him? There was no option that had any way that would make any sense that he could survive. And her act, that throwing Moshe Rabbeinu into the river, was an act of desperation. She just didn't want to be the one to cause Moshe to die, to witness him dying, and witness her baby being forcibly drowned by the Mitzrayim. So she put him in the river so that she shouldn't have to see it. There was no hope. And so much so that Chazal in Masechta Saita tell us that Miriam, she didn't just come up with a good idea to argue with Amram. He probably wouldn't have heeded her in that case. Miriam had already attained the status of a Nevi'ah at that point. And it was a prophecy she was telling Amram, don't continue what you're doing, because the eventual savior of Klal Yisrael will be born through you remarrying Yecheved. And when Moshe was born, the house was filled with light, and Amram was convinced she had prophesied truthfully, and he kissed her on the head. But then when they had to place Moshe in the Nile, he slapped her on the head and said, "Where's your prophecy now?" Now, that itself is astounding, because halachically, once someone has been certified as a Navi, which is a process, if you don't believe their prophecy, that's kfira. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, one of the Ani Mamin, Shekol Devei Nevi'im Emes. And that's what we believe. So how could he slap her and lose faith? Now, many people ask this question, and there's quite a number of answers, but a number of sources maintain that he truly doubted her prophecy, and he thought she must have made a mistake. That was how hopeless the situation was. Amram, who had followed her advice, rescinded his opinion, and made whole Klal Yisrael change, just lost faith in her. So now that we understand how bitterly desperate and dark that moment was when Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown in the Nile River, now let's think how it was for Miriam. Here was a girl on whose word her father had changed his decision, changed the approach for all of Klal Yisrael, and everything seemed to be going correctly. Moshe was born, the house filled with light, and now everything was going to end in tragedy. Her own father, who had such faith in her, felt betrayed by her and was convinced she was mistaken. The last place she would want to be was to witness Moshe Rabbeinu inevitably dying, and she let everybody down and broke their spirit even more. She made things that much worse. That would be the last place she would want to be. But Miriam does the opposite. She hid in the distance, to know what would happen to him. Chazal explained, she had no doubt. She knew her nevuah was true, and she knew it would end well. She really wanted to know how it would happen. So she stood to see it come to fruition. This was an act of extraordinary faith and amunah. She didn't allow her will to be broken. She didn't lose hope. She didn't give in to desperation when literally every last person in Klal Yisrael had given up already, even her own father and even the one who had trusted in her. It was monumental. She was an example for all Jews forever. In the darkest moments, when all hope is truly lost, don't give up. And Chazal say, "Ein bein David ba ela mitechesach hadas." Mashiach will only come once everybody is Mesiach das. They've given up. There's no way he can come anymore. And imagine how bitter and dark Jews' lives have to become until they reach that point. And that's when Mashiach will come, because this is a testament to the faith and amunah that Klal Yisrael can and will have. Miriam was the paragon of that faith. And because she did this, the Gemara says that a great honor was accorded to her. Much later, when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, and Miriam became a Metzaira due to talking about Moshe, she couldn't travel with the whole encampment. She had to wait until she was healed, and that took 7 days. And Klal Yisrael had prepared to leave, so they probably already gathered all the possessions, folded up all the tents, and Hashem said, "Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to wait 7 days until Miriam is healed." And that was because she waited for Moshe a few minutes. So the Klal Yisrael waited 7 days for her. And it could be that the symbolism of this is that Klal Yisrael, we don't go anywhere without Miriam. As a nation, we can't exist without people like Miriam who cling to Amunah no matter what, when everybody else has given up. Now, let's get to the story. So Rabbi Tzitzio Zatzal was honored by BMG some 15 years ago. And at the dinner, he said that this is not an honor for me. It's an honor for my mother. I have no doubt that the reason I'm the Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva was because of her. Some 75 years earlier, she was a little girl. His mother was in England, and it was under intense bombing by the Luftwaffe, and nobody knew if they'd survive the next run, which happened multiple times a night. And if Aaron Cutler had fled Kletsk with his yeshiva, and he went to Vilna, which was safer for the moment, and the Vat Hatzalah was trying to get him out of Europe, and they weren't sure would they find a way through England or through America. Now, it was becoming Shabbos, and they needed someone to man the phone, just to sit and by the phone the whole Shabbos, just in case a call comes in that they figure something out, so that the message could get to the proper authorities and find a method for Avaran to come. So Ethel, who was Ramatzio's mother, a young girl, she volunteered to sit by that phone no matter what for the whole Shabbos, just for the possibility of saving Ravaran. And Ramatzio said he has no doubt that this is why he became the Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva. And that was a modern-day example of a Tesatzev Achosei Mirochek, a young girl in the darkness of World War II. Bombs were falling all around her. Jews were being exterminated by the millions. And there was total darkness, very little hope. Very few people escaped Europe. And she did and sat by a phone the whole Shabbos alone, just for the slight possibility that maybe a tzaddik could be saved. Which is a beautiful, beautiful story, and it's just a testament to the Mashgiach, his mother, And the message that Vatesatzev Achosim Rachik, what Miriam was trying to teach us, that never ever, a Jew never ever should give up, even when every reason in the world points in that direction. Have a good night and a wonderful Shabbos.